Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, hey! Happy to have you on board. A lot to talk about on this edition of the show. And of course, we are inching our way closer to the weekend. It was a lot of fun to see Zion Williamson make his NBA debut. I know in the first quarter, he didn't score. And he only played a handful of minutes. But they were just warming him up. And they were buttering us up for what was a fantastic fourth quarter. It was worth the wait, right? And if you haven't seen it or didn't see it live, the highlights are everywhere. Because the overall number one draft pick, the guy we waited 3 months to see, initially it was supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks that he would be on the shelf. Even though he's not yet in game shape, even though the Pelicans didn't win his debut, it was worth the wait. It's not just a buzz because of what he did in college. No, his game is fully equipped for the NBA level. And that megawatt smile. Man, I missed it. I got all excited about watching him play. And to see him out there, even with the slow start. Right. So the first bucket, by the way, was not a three-pointer. It was an offensive putback. It was great because offensive rebounds are sexy. But by the time his teammates and his coaches encouraged him to be aggressive. I'm sure they said it just like that. A-G-R-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. Oh my gosh, high school cheerleader cheers. Anyway, by the time he took that to heart, by the time they got into the fourth quarter, the Spurs got hit with a Zion pop right in the mouth. And he scored 17 points in a row. Over a 3-minute and 8-second stretch. It was like he had taken over the game at Duke. Remember a couple of the games late in the NCAA tournament? We've got Zion back. And his stat line for his first ever NBA game. It was maybe not MVP worthy. Though the fans were chanting MVP inside the Smoothie King Center, Smoothie King Arena, Smoothie King something. But certainly, it was a debut worthy of all the hype. So welcome to the NBA, Zion Williamson. And he's only going to get better because he hasn't been able to do a whole lot of basketball activity, which means he's not yet in basketball shape. And of course, there's going to be some rust. It took him all of 3 quarters to shake it off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Got a fun show planned for you. In addition to hearing from Zion and from his coach and talking a little bit about what happened on the NBA landscape. Even as Zion Williamson enters the pro stage of his career, Eli Manning exits the pro phase of his career. We don't have his comments yet. His official retirement announcement is reportedly set for Friday. Now, I'm not sure why people are saying he's allegedly retiring. I don't know if he's going to backtrack on that. Maybe if another team offers him an opportunity, he might change his mind. We shall see what Eli has to say if, in fact, he does get in front of the microphones on Friday. But that is when his press conferences reportedly scheduled. I suppose he could jilt his press conference at the altar and not show up and create a whole huge stir. At 39 years old, he had a fantastic career. The best of the Giants and the worst of the Giants. He spanned it all. And if you think about it, the Giants losing over the past few years is rock bottom for this franchise. But he was also on the top of the mountain when the Giants were winning two Super Bowls in the span of 5 years. And so he's seen the highest of highs and the lowest of lows for the franchise that he loves. And reportedly has decided he does not want to play anywhere else. But again, people are saying, we'll see. He's allegedly going to retire. We'll wait to hear from Eli. But to answer the question, yes, Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. And no, it's not because of two, I'm using my air quotations, lucky throws in the Super Bowls. We had this conversation about a month ago, a little more than a month ago maybe, because he returned to the field. He had a chance to play a couple of games with Daniel Jones getting hurt. And I wrote a column about it. It's probably my most read column of the entire year. I retweeted the link a few hours ago, and people went nutso over it all over again. Anyway, it's up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. I didn't have a chance to put it back up on Facebook, but I will. Even if you don't think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer, I would encourage you to read the evidence. Read the column so you know what you're up against. So you're informed. I told one guy who responded to me on Twitter, he's not a Hall of Famer even if he gets in. I mean, that's not actually how it works. If you get in, you are, in fact, a Hall of Famer. But I told him, you should be informed when you have this debate. Look smart, don't look dumb when it comes to the Eli Manning Hall of Fame debate. So that's where I come in. I presented you with all of the evidence. You can check that out on Twitter. It's on Facebook somewhere, but I'll retweet the link. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also on the show, Derek Jeter and Larry Walker officially in front of the microphones to acknowledge the Hall of Fame invitation. The Mets have replaced Carlos Beltran. Beltran, we never knew ye as a manager. Patrick Mahomes getting ready for the San Francisco 49ers defense, even though the Super Bowl is still a week and a half away. Matt LaFleur still can't figure out what went wrong against that 49ers defense, so you hear from him as well. Kevin Stefanski filling out his coaching staff in Cleveland. And the Raiders officially unveil their Las Vegas logo. So there's a lot to talk about tonight. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on Antonio Brown having an arrest warrant out for him. But man, this time last year, this is the part that blows me away. I mean, I'm sad for him. I'm also angry for the way that he has treated his children and the people in his life. But he clearly needs help. It just blows me away that this time last year, we were in the throes of Brown wanting out of Pittsburgh and a conflict that ultimately couldn't be resolved. I don't remember the exact dates. I could go look them up. But I do know that once the Super Bowl was done, Brown was making noise on social media. He and Mr. Rooney met. They decided that they should have, you know, they should go their separate ways. They should have a mutual parting of ways. And then it was quiet for a while. The Steelers finally found what they thought was a trade partner in the Buffalo Bills. Antonio Brown nixed that and said, I'm not showing up there. And so they ultimately sent him to Oakland, where the Raiders got duped and traded a third and a fifth round pick for Antonio Brown? But all of that It hasn't yet happened this time last year. We're still in the throes of wondering, talking about it, thinking, wow, are the Steelers really going to get rid of him and Le'Veon Bell? But then I'm trying to think of the right word for it. I don't want to say crazy because that's overused. And I feel a little bit gun shy using it to talk about Antonio Brown right now. But his wild roller coaster ride of a tenure with the Oakland Raiders, from the frozen feet to the helmet issues to the love fest initially, and then they decided they couldn't deal, and he was released on September 7th. And here we are. So now a year later, before any of this happens, would you have thought this was possible? That Antonio Brown, one of the best receivers in the NFL, would not only be out of the league, having not caught a ball in the 2019 season, but that he would have gotten cut by two teams and would now have an arrest warrant issued for him. I mean, life comes at you fast.
I can't deal with it anymore, really. Sorry.
Especially when you make incredibly poor decisions. And it has escalated over the past year. So a part of me's angry. A part of me feels bad for him. Because he clearly needs help. Well, feel bad for him. A part of me pities him. He clearly needs help. And I hope that he gets it. But it just... remarkable to think about what was a 12-month escalation. I mean, it spiraled out of control. And this time last year, all we were talking about was a spat with his quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, and whether or not the Steelers should part ways with him or that situation could be mended. Again, life comes at you fast. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a really unique and fun guest for you on this edition of the show. She will join us from Kansas City at the top of the next hour. That's all I'm going to say for now. But you won't find another story like hers. And you could actually help her write an even happier ending to her story. I'll explain. But straight ahead, Zion Williamson, 17 straight points in the fourth quarter in his Pelicans debut. You'll hear from him, from his coach. All smiles, even MVP chance in the Crescent City. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Keel looking for a Hayes pick. Got it. All the way in. Double pump on Pirtle. Force him into a tough shot. Rebound Zion. Stick back in with a left hand. There it is, New Orleans. The first career points for Zion Williamson in his NBA career.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to the NBA, big man. Can you imagine what we saw from him in his first game when he's not yet in basketball shape, when he hasn't had the opportunity to really get his hoops sea legs back under him? He's obviously been injured, and while they stopped being worried about him re-injuring himself a few weeks ago, they actually held him out of the lineup a little bit longer than they needed to, because they wanted him to practice for a while. And as much as it was familiar to see him on the court for a few minutes in the first quarter and then scoring his first bucket there in the second quarter, the call on the Pelicans radio network, you could tell he was tentative. Like, he's trying to figure it out. But that's understandable. He's waited for so long for this, and there's been so much conversation about it, even while he was still at Duke. And now here it is. And in the first half, kind of looked like he was getting the lay of the land. And as it turns out, he needed his coaches and his teammates to tell him to be aggressive, go after it.
It wasn't just coach. It was Drew, Darius Miller. They just came to me and just said, I mean, do what you do. Don't worry about, like, making mistakes. Like, it's going to happen. You just got to move on.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. When you play basketball for a living, just like when you do anything else for a living, you always will have mistakes. That's understandable that he would need a few minutes to get comfortable. But man, once he did, and once he started getting aggressive and going back to the player that we saw when he was at Duke, lights out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even if you weren't still watching the broadcast of this game in the fourth quarter, because the Spurs went up big. It is worth seeing the replay. It'll be up on probably NBA TV. We'll have a bunch of it. Catch the highlights. It was all the rage on Twitter. Just make sure you watch the stretch in the fourth quarter. 3 minutes and 8 seconds, 17 points.
Now Zion in the lane, back it in, Poeltl, missed the layup, got it back, stick back, rattles in! There is nobody in this building that is sitting down. Nobody!
Keep feeding the man.
104-101, Zion's got 13 points. Ball, no look feed to Zion. Oh, he didn't take the three. Now he's got it, right wing three again. Got it again! You have got to be kidding me! Up top, Lonzo. Stutter step back to Zion. Oh my, step back three. Left wing! Swish! No! This is not happening!
Welcome to the NBA, big brother!
Absolutely. The NBA is entertaining, more entertaining. It's going to be different with him on the court night in and night out. You can feel the electricity. Even watching the first half of the doubleheader on ESPN, I was getting ready for his debut. And of course, they had it as a line item on the bottom of the screen. Zion's NBA debut coming up next. He's already earned the right to be known by a single name. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So you actually had the fans inside the Smoothie King Center chanting MVP, MVP after what they saw in the fourth quarter. 17 consecutive points. He made 6 shots in a row. He finished with 22, 7 rebounds, 3 assists.
Not gonna lie, that was different. I don't think I've ever gotten to that magnitude, but you know, I was just locked in on the game and just trying to help my team win, so I just was trying to lock in.
I haven't watched his press conference where I could actually hear what they're saying. So I'm listening to the audio, obviously, because we have the radio cuts. But on NBA TV, which is up in my studio, I keep seeing part of his post-game press conference. And it's him and it's a couple of teammates. And he's beaming, as you can imagine. And for the Pelicans themselves, they've obviously been waiting for this too. The San Antonio Spurs had to be careful. They had a 20-something point lead, but the Pelicans got as close as 2 points in that fourth quarter. No wonder no one was sitting down. So right now, for Zion, for the Pelicans, now that he's finally on the court, let's hope that he stays on the court. Things are definitely looking up.
It was good to get back out there, obviously, but you know, I didn't have the outcome that I wanted, so gotta get better and move on to the next.
That will come. That will come. This will translate. I think as much as there was disappointment about him not being in New York, that that would have been a match made in heaven. The fact is, wherever he goes, now it's New Orleans. We'll see whether he stays there. But wherever he is, if he's healthy and he plays his game, it's going to be a boon for that franchise. Sure, you could think he might be better off in a big city, the bright lights, the big stage. But it doesn't matter, because wherever the Pelicans go, he's going to put butts in the seats in other cities, other arenas, other time zones, different parts of the country. That's what he means to the NBA. As much as we know the league markets its superstars, one game in, you're going to be seeing a lot of Zion, because he delivered in his debut. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So I have a fun question that I want to toss out to you after the update. If you haven't yet voted for TD of the Week, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Lots of you casting your votes, which is fun. It'll be weird not to have football this weekend, right? I'm okay with it. We can't miss you, NFL, if you never go away. People keep asking me, are you going to miss football? I'll miss the excitement of football. It's the constant drama of the games. But the NFL has become masterful at perpetuating the conversation. It doesn't matter what month. It doesn't matter if it's the Ides of March or Cinco de Mayo or July 4th. There's always something happening in the NFL. And so it doesn't really go away. What we miss are the games, of course. Those will be back before we know it. I guess if you're into the Pro Bowl, well, there's two games left in this season. Otherwise, it's about the Super Bowl. But we're just saying, we've got the Las Vegas Raiders. They're moving. You've got teams that are trying to figure out how to get better already. Matt LaFleur of Green Bay says that they're going to spend the offseason game planning for the San Francisco 49ers. So they've already gone to work in the offseason. So we'll do a little football here coming up. And also a fun question that I want to pitch to you. I don't really know where these questions come from. This one, believe it or not, I was trying to sleep. It's been a really rough couple weeks of sleeping. It hasn't gone well. Sometimes I get in these stretches where I can't sleep. And then the more I stress about it, the worse it gets. Because then I start psyching myself out when it comes to sleep. Anyway, so I was trying to sleep. It wasn't working. And I don't know why I started thinking about Wheel of Fortune. But from there, seriously, I don't know. I wish I did know, but I don't. My brain is like a plate of spaghetti. Something triggers something else. You pull one piece of spaghetti and a bunch of spaghetti falls off the plate. It's just how it happens. So I started thinking about Wheel of Fortune. It's a wonder I can't sleep, right? I mean, that's not surprising, I guess. And from there, a show question was born. I will explain that, too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
A lot happening in the football world, even though we are in this void between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl. But think about the preparations that are taking place right now in Kansas City as well as in the Bay Area before the two teams descend on Miami. And also, there's a lot of other news that's breaking. The commissioner and the owners don't take kindly to NFL teams releasing a lot of big news or making a lot of headlines around the Super Bowl. And so teams have to fit it in either before or if they wait until after. The Las Vegas Raiders chose to do it before the Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Mark Davis, well, you know, he was in Vegas for the fight over the weekend, and he was sticking around for a much bigger goal.
The Raiders were born in Oakland and played 13 seasons in L.A. Both cities will always be part of our DNA. But today, we begin a new chapter. We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
We cut off the thousands, the legions of screaming, adoring fans. So yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders. Producer Chris, if you want to find their logo, I think they officially tweeted it today. Everything's been changed. It's no longer Oakland. It is now Las Vegas, moving forward full steam ahead.
4 years ago, we told the state of Nevada that you're getting more than a football team. You're getting the Raider Nation. There's some Los Angeles Raiders, Oakland Raiders, but most of all, they're all Raiders.
They certainly have made a name for themselves by being a bit nomadish. Nomadic? Nomadic would be the word. I just made up a word. Nomadish. You never know. It could end up in the Urban Dictionary. They've been a bit nomadic over the course of their franchise history. But Las Vegas has rolled out the red carpet. Let's face it. If you're going to get this brand new state-of-the-art facility equipped with all the bells and whistles and technology, and if you can go to Las Vegas, where it's already a destination city, and you can jump on board in a place where there's only one other pro team. So the Golden Knights landing there with the NHL a couple years ago. We saw how the fans embraced them. Clearly, this is a market that's ripe for more pro football.
Whereas the Allegiant Stadium, with more than 1.7 million square feet of space, will further enhance Nevada's global leadership in event hosting, tourism, and hospitality.
I'm glad that they're excited. And I feel like we're seeing and thinking about, we're getting a repeat of what we got with the Golden Knights. They're so geeked up to welcome pro hockey and now pro football. And I know the fans are going to embrace their over the top enthusiastic, which is awesome. And I think if you consider, let's just say you're a longtime fan of another football team. If you consider your schedule and your team is going to end up in Vegas, and maybe you're not a big time gambler, or, you know, that the Las Vegas Strip is not really your cup of tea. It's not mine. I've never been to Vegas. But I would go to watch a football game. I would go to watch a hockey game. I would go to experience what is fresh and new. I know there have been teams that have moved in my lifetime, but this is unique because of where the team is going, because they're landing in Las Vegas with all of its glitz and glam. So Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak, he loves the fact that the stadium and the team itself is going to be a financial boon for the city. And of course, Mark Davis, he's been talking about this move and getting the team to Las Vegas for a while. He's been really excited about it. And we know the NFL is as well. I mean, they can see the dollar sign spraying from the desert because of how the hockey team did. And because they're in a really good place. I mean, this is going to add to the NFL's revenue totals. If you remember a couple of years ago, Commissioner Roger Goodell stated publicly that sometime in the very near future, they anticipate cracking the $25 billion threshold, $25 billion in revenue. Well, Las Vegas will certainly help with that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, in the same division, the AFC West, the Chiefs are headed to the first Super Bowl in 50 years. And Patrick Mahomes, while it was in Vegas, he said they did celebrate for one night. They did get excited for one night about winning the AFC Championship.
just that night. I mean, just kind of with the family and friends and some teammates, just kind of just enjoying it. But then going in on Monday, we got right back onto the 49ers. And the good thing about this is we know who we're playing, so you can kind of use this extra week and really focus in on one team so that you can prepare yourself in the best way possible.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the San Francisco 49ers and that defense. And certainly it poses all kinds of problems, headaches. I mean, you have to worry about that brute strength of the defensive line. You have to worry about getting pushed around in the trenches. Now, Kansas City, they certainly have done a better job clearing space, and they run a lot of misdirection and jet sweeps. And it's a team that will get you off balance because of the fact that they're constantly in motion and they have so much speed. But that's why I love this matchup. Well, it's one of the reasons why I love this matchup, because it's contrasting styles, and it's a battle of wills, and it's something's got to give. It's this incredibly physical, fierce, tough defense that can bully you and push you around and enjoy it against an offense that can make defenses look silly. Let's be honest. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. That certainly happened to the Packers and Matt LaFleur, and in a moment of honesty, he has admitted he doesn't know why the offense fell short. He's still trying to figure it out. Why did the offense look so bad on Sunday?
That's something that I'm still trying to figure out right now as we speak. I mean, I don't understand that, because you're there. You have an opportunity to go to play in a Super Bowl, and for that to happen, it's extremely bothersome. And we got to look at ourselves, everybody. I got to look inside of myself and see why weren't our players playing with their hair on fire? I think everybody in our organization has to do that.
Matt LaFleur also indicates that they will spend the offseason game planning for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I think he is somewhat being tongue-in-cheek, because there are other teams, including in their own division, that they will have to deal with. And there's a lot that the team wants to improve on. And I think in a moment of honesty, Packers fans, maybe even internally, you might get members of the Packers front office who would say, hey, this was far and away better than what we expected for the first season with LaFleur. Now, I don't think Aaron Rodgers' window is closed. I don't think the Packers' window is closed. I think they have a lot of potential. You do want to capitalize, though, if you don't want to have to. Well, you generally aren't going to win big with a rookie quarterback, right? We know that's the case. There's never been a rookie quarterback who's piloted a Super Bowl champion. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the best of all time. So you want to take advantage of the fact that you've still got Aaron Rodgers and he can still play extremely well. He can still chuck passes downfield, fit them in tight windows. He can still dazzle you with his elusiveness. And there's a lot that he still brings to the table, regardless of people pointing to him and saying he's an aging quarterback. He takes good care of the football. I mean, we know all these things. They want to have a run game. They want to use Aaron Jones. They want to have a balanced offense. They brought in people like Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith to beef up their defense and their pass rush. 13 wins in his first season, but they ran into the 49ers, and it was clear that they were so far off against that team, the best of the NFC. Their weaknesses were exposed. And so, yes, he's being tongue-in-cheek when he says we're going to spend our offseason game planning for the 49ers, but the point is the Niners are the standard right now in that conference. And in order to get where they want to go, the Packers are going to have to be able to beat the Niners at what they do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Really quickly, seriously, not that memorable, but I did say earlier that Antonio Brown didn't catch a pass in the NFL this year. He did. Remember, he spent a couple of weeks with the Patriots. I was thinking it was preseason, but he was actually on the roster into the start of September. So my bad, it didn't stick. It did not stick in my head. How many days was he with the Patriots? 11? 11 days with the New England Patriots, right? Wasn't it something crazy like that? Yeah, so I apologize. I was wrong about that. I still say that this season and this past 12 months, it's stunning. His fall from being one of the best, most coveted wide receivers in the NFL to where he is now, where there's a warrant out for his arrest. Josh is listening in Texas. Josh, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, just listening to you. I'm a Packers fan, by the way.
Okay.
And just listening to you talking about the Packers, I just, from watching the playoffs and then Aaron Rodgers, you know, not being so accurate with the football, I kind of see like a downhill run, even though we did get 13 wins. It's just little things that he wouldn't miss. Like, I don't know if it was the first drive or the second drive when he threw it to Jamal Williams and they were short a yard or two, and he had Jimmy Graham wide open for the first down. But
sometimes guys just have bad games, man.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, my question was going to be, do you think the 49ers are just playing at such a high level, high performance from guys that need to prove something, like Kittle, Jimmy G, Bosa, Debo? Do you think it's just like other players playing with them and them seeing such a high performance from those guys that everything is just clicking? Kind of like basically, are they going to be another Falcons, or do you see a Patriots team somewhat, you know, in those lines?
Are you talking about if I think this is the start of a dynasty?
Yeah, or do you see this as a Falcons team that's going to kind of settle in, I guess?
I mean, I don't predict a future. I have no idea. I do know that there's a lot of turnover in the NFL, and they're going to have competition in the NFC West. It's shaping up, not just with the Seahawks. I would expect the Rams to be back. They're kind of remaking their roster, and I think the Cardinals are only going to get better. So the competition in their division is going to be stout. But no, defense doesn't – I mean, yes, they're clicking. They're bringing out the best in one another. But I feel like because they've had so many changes on their roster, if they stick together, they're only going to get better. That cohesion, the communication, the rapport that they have with one another, it's only going to get better. It's difficult to keep a team together. If they would win the Super Bowl, a lot of times guys go elsewhere, they get paid, that type of thing. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, the formula that they have there in San Francisco, the culture that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have built, that's not something that is a flash in the pan or that disappears, you know, that it kind of goes poof and disappears into thin air. Josh, thank you so much for your phone call. I have to let you go because we're up at the top of the hour. Quickly, the question I want to throw out for you. This is kind of born of the Wheel of Fortune Vanna White thing. Vanna White is known for one thing. She's known for being the letter turner on the Wheel of Fortune. David Tyree is known for one thing. Catching the ball in the Super Bowl from Eli Manning after he scrambled away from all kinds of pressure that helped the Giants beat the Patriots when they were undefeated. So I want to know from you, who in, whether it's entertainment or whether it's in sports, who comes to mind when I say people known for one thing? Famous people known for one thing. And coming up next, Janelle Carbajo. Well, she's known for one thing. That's being the Chiefs super fan who's nominated for the Ford Hall of Fans. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.